Welcome back to Open Line at WYC 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. This hour on the program, the best restaurants in Central Ohio, including a new Vietnamese restaurant, a selection of traditional Italian restaurants, upscale and downscale restaurants, chew and choke joints, we're going to include those, fine breakfast places, Indian carryout, and more. Back with us, Columbus restaurant critics, WYC 820's restaurant review team, Rich Terapak and Marilyn Smith. Good to have you both here.
Well, thanks, Fred.
Restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch, John Christensen is back with us. Hi.
Thank you, Fred.
And for City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, welcome back, restaurant critic Steve Stover.
Fred.
Good to have you here, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're at 614-292-8513. Well, first of all, Rich and Marilyn, you went to La Chatelaine on Lane Avenue, right?
Not too long ago.
It's been there many years, their lunch special. And you like that? And what do you like about La Chatelaine?
Well, actually, it was very good. What we like about it is that there certainly is ample quantity. The quality was good. It was probably not the right place to go on a 94-degree day.
Outside,
As fall approaches, I think the cuisine that they feature is more appropriate. I'm struggling now to remember what we had, but the quiche and those kinds of things.
Monte Cristo sandwich, I think,
right.
You had. But for the most part, what we got was a little bit heavy for a hot summer afternoon. But it's always good there.
Yeah. They have a wonderful tomato basil soup there.
Did have that, and it's excellent. Yeah.
And mushroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a mushroom soup that's excellent, too. The only criticism I have, when you have the lunch special, you can choose your sandwich, and one of them is a vegetable sandwich, and it's like, you know, two cucumber slices and a piece of lettuce or something. I mean, it's really anemic. Other than that, it's a wonderful place
to
go.
It's an old British dish, actually.
It's an old British dish, isn't it? Yeah, and it's a French restaurant.
But that, good sandwich, sandwich and salad or soup and salad is a good bargain as well.
It's a good combination,
well.
Yeah.
It used to be a soups. A sandwich, a little salad, and a cup of soup for like $6.95.
I think it still is, yeah. That's right.
All right. A good choice for lunch, especially as fall moves in and you can sit outdoors in the plaza, yeah.
And I had the good fortune of running into you there one day this summer.
Indeed you did. You saw it. We're having a good time.
And they have three locations now. The
Worthington,
and there's one in Dublin now.
And one in Dublin.
In the old downtown area.
Hey, what are some really good choices for breakfast on a Saturday morning or brunch? Where would you go?
Home.
I vote for that.
Yeah, there are a lot. We've got a couple of Rise and Dine, a relatively recent place down.
Is that a chain?
Yeah, it is.
You and Marilyn, you guys went to Rise and Dine.
We did go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. Adequate.
Adequate. Just adequate.
Well, yeah, there's Jack and Benny's, just for a little mom and pop's place at the corner of High Street at Hudson.
At Hudson.
They also have a great burger. But some of the best hash browns I've had. I haven't been back there lately, but it's a good little mom and pop's place. And Lily's Kitchen Table down in Grove City used to be good. I think they've changed ownership, but they used to have a real good breakfast and it's hard to find eggs over easy these days, but a lot of people go to, of course, Bob Evans,
sure.
First Watch,
traditional,
and
yeah.
The Rise and Dine are the main choices. But there's another place, I'm missing the name, up in Powell area across the river where the speed trap is. I'm blanking here. It's a largely a Greek restaurant, and it's got it's also popular for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Tria. What? Tria?
No, it's across the river. It's a little tiny mom and pop's place.
First Watch does a good job, particularly on their pancakes.
They do a decent job.
Yeah, wheat germ pancakes.
But you're not saying there's no really outstanding. What about, is it Tazi's, is it the one that's back
on
Rigsby's?
Yeah.
A really great, shame on us for not thinking of it, a really great Huevos Rancheros, maybe one of the best in town. And they have it. And they have, of course, Eleni Cristini breads. And it's Tazi is the second restaurant of the Rigsby's. And it's in the right behind the restaurant in the alley, on Pearl Alley, in the old Pistachio location.
So I'd say that's a cut above most breakfast restaurants, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
But parking is a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
there.
Definitely. But they have three parking spaces.
Yes, they do.
I think maybe four. So, and you've got to find a place where it's not parking that's according to a particular sticker. And then
although in the morning it's better.
Yeah.
And since Tazi is Mrs. Rigsby, you could probably use their valet service. If you
mm-hmm. All right. 614-292-8513. Go to our call list here. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Good morning. Breakfast, Delaware Hamburger Inn.
The Hamburger Inn in Delaware.
That's it.
I just reviewed that for the Delaware Gazette, and I it's counter only.
Yep.
I didn't have high expectations, but when I got there, I was nothing like warm donuts right out of the oven, house-made bread, everything. That's a great one. That's a great one. And there's also Bueller's Market has another little breakfast nook, but Hamburger Inn's one of the best great hash browns.
And it's right on Sandusky Street.
It's right on Sandusky Street. It's a little hole in the wall. There's only counter seating. But I also had a hamburger for breakfast, and it was really good. Well, it is called the Hamburger Inn.
Yeah.
Mary had the little eggs and hash browns.
A hamburger chaser on W.
They said the little guys that were sitting there who were obviously regular said, oh, you got to have a sticky bun. So,
you had a hamburger and a sticky bun?
I sacrificed my body.
Once again.
So what's new?
Jeff, what's your favorite breakfast at the Hamburger Inn?
I will get the sausage and Swiss omelet.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Yeah.
And this is not heavily – is it heavily greased up, these breakfasts at the Hamburger Inn, or are they okay? I mean, are they very thick?
No, they're not real greasy spoon breakfast. They're pretty good. They're really pretty good.
All right. Thanks for the recommendation. You know, we have from Amy at the controls, we have – and I would agree with this. She says, I vote for Sunday brunch at Whole World Restaurant in Clintonville.
Yeah.
But the brunch there is pretty good.
It seems to me that the first requirement for a good breakfast is either good coffee or tea.
Yeah.
And good bread or a good pastry to have with it.
Sounds right.
And in that respect, we talked about Chatelaine earlier. They certainly have the breads, and especially the croissants, down first class. They have a wonderful tea setup, lots of choices of whole leaf tea, so you're not relegated to some tea bag that tastes like cardboard after you brewed it.
Sure.
And also I would give Mozart's a plug for having upgraded its coffee. And they, too, have loose tea available and, of course, a huge array of pastries and a number of breakfast pastries such as real Danish, not the supermarket kind.
So and some very nice omelets as well.
Right, but if you don't have the basics, then to me the rest doesn't count for breakfast. It's just another meal.
Well, how do you feel about the one that the caller mentioned in the Whole Foods?
Whole Foods, very nice. Yeah, very nice. In fact, you have the choice of eggs or egg substitutes or, a number of good breakfast menus. It's really a brunch. You get there early, about 10 o'clock, before the big crowd gets there to Whole World, and you're doing pretty well.
This is on the weekend.
This is on the weekend, on Sunday morning, yeah.
And is this at Sawmill or on Lane?
No, this is on it is on High Street in Clintonville.
Oh, the restaurant. The you're not talking about Whole Foods.
No, Whole World.
Whole World restaurant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Whole World, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, not Whole Foods. And speaking of, brunches used to be the in thing to do on Sunday, and certainly is on Mother's Day and stuff like that, and there are very few left. I think the Worthington Inn has a good one.
Spaggio's.
Spaggio has, it's not a buffet, but it's a, you can order what you want. And on the plaza at the Hyatt on Capitol Square on special occasion, I don't know if they have it every week, are three good choices for brunch.
Excellent.
Is it Union or Union Station on North High Street?
Union Cafe now. Union it used Cafe. To be Union Station, yeah. Do they have a Sunday brunch?
They have a Sunday brunch, yeah.
And I think here's Daoud. Daoud, I think you have a suggestion that I had forgotten about, but a very good one. You're talking about the North Star Cafe, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good morning. We must absolutely not forget the best place to eat breakfast in the Columbus area is the North Star Cafe.
Yes.
There are two locations. One is in the Short North, and the other one is in Clintonville. I guess they call it Beach Wall. But those are two of the best places to eat. Atmosphere-wise, you can't beat it. They have lovely patio.
Yes, that's right.
At both places. And their menu, they have a very, very high-quality menu of organically grown and locally raised house food. And it's impeccably clean. The staff is wonderful.
Very friendly.
The owners are there all the time, and they really cater to everybody who's there. The one in the Beach Wall, the Clintonville area, is really a real good spot for families to go with their children. They do a very good job with the children, with high chairs and all this kind of thing. They do it also in the South, the Short North. And the Short North is the place where you go to get the real eclectic crowd. And They do
and good magazines, too.
Yeah,
yeah, nice magazines. Hey, Jared, what do you have for breakfast when you go to North Star?
Well, usually what I like to get is the burrito in the bowl.
Yeah, good.
Because I absolutely love sweet potatoes. They do a very interesting thing with sweet potatoes, and just wonderful dish there. And their pancakes are out of this world, and they call them cloud nine pancakes.
That's
actually
right.
Marilyn loves the carrot juice.
Oh, yeah, carrot juice, hash, you name it. North Star is a place to go to eat breakfast.
Excellent, Jared. We'd forgotten. Thanks for making that suggestion.
Another one.
All right.
We're just a little slow on the uptake today.
That was an excellent suggestion. There's another one that we forget about is a Starliner Diner on Cemetery Road in Hilliard. Uh-huh. Cuban, sort of Caribbean, Southwestern food. And, again, fresh, a lot of local ingredients. And
along those lines,
Jerry Burgos.
Banana Bean.
Yes.
Does a Sunday brunch.
Down in German Village.
German right? Village, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now we're rolling.
Now we're rolling.
We've all woken up. Thank you.
Everybody needs a good cup of coffee this morning.
Yeah, where's your coffee, Fred?
So, by the way, the North Star Cafe has the only, I stress only, good veggie burger, and it's phenomenal that I've ever had. If you like veggie burgers, it's wonderful.
I agree.
Great.
Do you agree with that,
Jen?
Absolutely.
It's one of our favorite places, I think.
And they take a lot of time in preparing it, right? Mm-hmm. And it is, I don't know all the ingredients. I know that beets ground up are a primary ingredient.
And some assortment of beans. But the fact, the most important thing is that they make it from scratch instead of buying some frozen
patty
from some factory.
Which is what everybody else does.
That's exactly right. And that's how they taste, too.
That's how they taste, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's first class.
First class indeed. John Christensen, restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch, Steve Stover for City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, our own WOSU 820 restaurant reviewing team, Rich Terapak and Marilyn Smith. 614-292-8513. Peg is on the line. Hi, Peg.
I have wanted to try North African cuisine, you know, Morocco, Tunisia, and I've never heard of a place in Columbus that has that kind of thing. Anybody got an idea?
Not North African, but there are African restaurants, and a lot of them line Morse Road area.
And the Cleveland Avenue.
And Cleveland Avenue. Yeah,
about there five are, on the corner.
And they all feature goat and braised, and there are a lot of full flavors, and there are, of course, Ethiopian restaurants, two of them in Columbus, and but nothing in the Moroccan area. But certainly there are some choices, including one that has the word Africa. Again, I'm slow on the uptake, but there are a bunch of them, and you can either email and we'll give you the names, or
I've tried those, but it's a different cuisine.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, North Africa. Yeah. Well, we can't help you with North Africa. Thanks, Peg. The Ethiopian restaurants now, they are what?
Blue Nile is
Blue
one
Nile.
Of them.
On
they
High
have
Street.
They start with the bread, the sort of sourdough pancake kind of bread, and then there are a lot of braised items. A good way to sample the cuisine is that they have a lunch buffet, and you can go in and taste four or five of the, like an Indian cuisine buffet. It's a little bit like Indian, wouldn't you say?
John Christensen.
Yeah, I could buy that.
Braises, a lot of
vegetable braises.
Braises and things like that.
Yeah,
and then the bread. And you pick up the food with the bread. And I never use utensils anyway.
So you feel right at home. So it's on the west side of High Street, a little north of campus, right? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Near Patterson.
Yes.
Patterson. Okay, any other – have you been to any of the African restaurants? We have an African population, an immigrant population of over 100,000 now in central Ohio.
The Somali population, it really brought it. And I went out one day and went to like five of them with some of the folks from the African community, and it was a lot of fun. And the fact that there are 35,000 Somalis in town now the Kroger in that area sells goat, so mm-hmm. you can see that it's sort of self-perpetuating and driving the interest in African food.
Any particular restaurant you want to recommend?
Cafe.
They've changed.
Paradiso, is it?
Yeah. And there's another one, African – maybe it's African Paradise, but there are – I just can't think of them right now.
Yeah, there's one way out on the east side called Queen of Sheba out on East Broad. I haven't tried it yet, but I've heard good things about it.
Okay. So we're going to get
– And there is that cluster in the Morris
Cleveland.
And Cleveland Avenue area.
Southwest
You could
corner.
Walk to half a dozen, I think.
Uh-huh. All right. And you'll be reporting on all of them soon.
Of course.
All right.
Here first.
Here first. Okay. Yeah. We have an email from Linda. She said there's a little hole in the wall that does a fabulous breakfast. It's called Wildflower Cafe on Indianola near North Broadway. Mm-hmm. Great food, great service, and great prices. I think you'd all agree with that, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's at Oakland Park.
Why didn't you guys think of that?
Email from Ryan. My wife and I spent a good deal of time investigating and trying local breakfast foods and diners in the Columbus area. My favorite by far, Starliner Diner on Fishinger Road. You all mentioned that. Excellent breakfast standards, many inspired by Latin American cuisine. Enormous portions.
Yes.
All right. Let us go back to our callers. And here's John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My name is John. I'm a chef around town. I'm a big fan of you guys. I just wanted to pay a tribute to you on the air. Great to tune in, and I know you have a lot to cover. No specific plugs for me other than just keep the business going and keep us on our toes in the industry. So thanks.
Good
to you. Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Nice compliment from John. Kristen's here. Hi, Kristen.
Hi. I joined your discussion, I think, midway through your breakfast restaurants. Has anyone mentioned Jack and Benny's yet?
Yes.
Briefly, tell us more about it. Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It was my haunt all through OSU. You stand outside in, 30-degree weather in the snow for like 2 hours to wait for a table on a Sunday morning, but you don't care. And this was before they opened up the adjacent side, so now it's a little bigger. You can stand inside. But the food is excellent. I get a Spanish omelet every time with one of their, usually a Buckeye pancake on the weekends. And then my fiance gets the Jack Buster, which is three types of breakfast meats, hash browns, cheese, three eggs, and gravy.
Wow.
Big meal. But the service is excellent. It's very family oriented. I went there twice, and then by the third time, they know your name when you come in. It's a wonderful atmosphere, super friendly. I've never had a bad experience there.
Excellent. Jack and Benny's, that's at Hudson and High now, right?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for that recommendation. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
614-292-8513. You can email openline at wosu.org. And hi, Paul. You're with us.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're good.
I have a question and a comment. The comment is in Knox County, in just east of Mount Vernon on 36, have you ever been to Spearman's Restaurant by any chance?
Don't think I think you stumped the panel there. So tell us
more
about
it. Easy to do today.
They're barely awake.
Thanks. It is awake, but it's in a little town called Millwood. It's just a dot. And they, just like the other caller said, very good service, very good food. But what's so special is it's just a bacon and eggs type of food, but it's very reasonable. Also, sometimes, I mean, we don't know the servers there, but sometimes the servers will kind of sit down with you and the other customers will crowd. It's very, very, very friendly, and it's just bacon and eggs. They also serve a wonderful dinner. And also, it's a very pretty route, 36. Mm-hmm. And the question also is, Bexley Monk, at least when I went there one time, they served a brunch. And I would like your comments on Bexley Monk as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your call. Bexley Monk, do we know whether they have a brunch? I don't know.
I don't know if they still have a brunch. They did have a brunch, you're right. And they have recently reworked the menu. They're trying hard. They've been through a couple of chefs recently. The quality is for the last time Marilyn and I were there for lunch not too long ago, and it was fine.
Is Chuck Langstaff still there?
I don't believe so.
And he is?
Oh, a well-known chef around town. His son Matt works with him sometimes. He's sort of won a whole bunch of prizes in the pork area.
Uh-huh.
So, when we were there the last, he was a chef.
614-292-8513. Is this Maria? Is that right?
It's Maria.
Maria, thank you.
And somebody said something to me about there being a place where you can get jerked goat on Cleveland Avenue somewhere between Oakland Park and 161.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get jerked goat at the Paradise Cafe in Eastmore, and they're closed.
And they're closed now. Okay.
Yeah. Any ideas?
Well,
there is a place on the east side of Cleveland whose name escapes me that matches that description you had. It is just north of Oakland Park. It's in a strip center with an auto parts store and several other miscellaneous places, and that's where I would look for the kind of cooking you're thinking of. It is North African, but not unfortunately for our prior caller, and not Moroccan, but it is definitely got some ethnic dishes like the one you're describing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was hoping for something along the Jamaican lines where I could get plantains.
Yeah. Well, you need to go further up Cleveland. Or no, further south on Cleveland.
Ina's Caribbean.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's near Hudson.
And what is that name again?
Ina's.
E-N-A apostrophe S Caribbean.
Caribbean.
Okay. And we've all been there.
Great place.
And liked it.
Great place. Huh?
Yes. Okay. And in fact, they do. You mentioned plantain. They do maybe the best job I've found with plantain in Columbus.
Really? I will check it out. Thank you so much.
That and the Starliner Diner where I go for plantains.
Good. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We have the Bexley Monk menu and website up here. Executive Chef Charles Langstaff and sous chef Matt Langstaff.
He's still there.
Still there.
Or the websites, I don't know.
Yes.
Or the website. We're not able to find a brunch on the website at this point.
Well, in my experience, brunch schedules change dramatically at restaurants over the years. Because a restaurant had brunch last week doesn't mean it'll have it next week. It's the kind of thing that seems to come and go more rapidly than any other dining concept.
I'm not sure
why that is. I think it's very difficult for the staff. The cooks hate it because they wind up doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to get people to come in to work.
Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the amount of business that comes in the door. It may have to do with staffing.
Right, and it's a kind of an all-you-can-eat concept
that's
abroad in, when it comes to brunches.
Mm-hmm. The breakfast buffet.
Yeah.
Okay. And let us go back to our callers with Ron. Ron, you want to recommend, is it Nancy's here?
Yeah, well, I think Nancy's is a long-established breakfast place in Clintonville and large portions, but it is a little bit of a greasy spoon. And I've got a short, funny story about it. I was in there with my daughter, and Bill, the longtime cook, one of the patrons came in. He says, "Where you been? I haven't seen you about 5 or 6 months." He says, "Well, I had quadruple bypass and rotor. and the cook says, "Well, what the heck are you doing back here?"
Yeah.
it just... My daughter and I, right up.
Steve, are you listening?
I'm saying I could hardly wait to get back in there.
Well, thanks, Ron. Thanks. That Nancy's is an old-time tradition in Clintonville. Scott. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Yes, I thought I would recommend another recently started Sunday brunch, which is at Barnum and Tibbetts. It's a fine restaurant, and I'm not sure what the brunch is like because they just started it last week. But I recommend it because I have the food there a lot because I'm a jazz musician and I play music there, and I'll be there this Sunday. So it's located on
Polaris
at Cleveland, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
East of I-71.
So what do we – is this a chain restaurant? What do we know?
No, it's not a chain restaurant. Who are the owners?
Well, it's the same folks that –
Well, it's actually in a state of flux right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Craig Barnum has bought out his other two partners, including Tibbetts. And
yep. So it's Barnum
one
and
of
Barnum.
The other partners was the chef there. So there's a brand-new chef that's being recruited from out of town. The menu is has been totally remade. It's going to have lower price points, and it's an effort to refocus the restaurant during these economic times.
Its roots are in Tucci and other places.
Yes, in Tucci, as long as we're on the topic, the chef there has left and is going to open his own restaurant in the Short North with some other people. So you have two restaurants in that ownership group that are in a state of flux right now.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other one? There's
across the street.
There's Brazenhead.
Brazenhead and then the one across
Oscars. Yeah.
Scott, highly recommended nonetheless.
Yes, and they have excellent jazz entertainment.
And what's the name of your group?
Two Jazzy Guys.
All right. and you'll be there this Sunday?
Two Jazzy Guys.
Yeah, we rotate with other bands, but they have somebody at each Sunday brunch. We're there about once a month. Because we also play at Tucci's. We'll be there tomorrow night, Thursday, on the patio.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for calling.
It's a handsome restaurant. I think it suffers from being on the east side of the freeway. There are so many options across from Polaris. shopping center with, you know, all the steakhouses and Carrabba's, and that I think they've got to draw some people to that side of the freeway.
We've got our Columbus restaurant critics with us. We're going to take a break here for a couple of the messages. Back with my guests and you callers on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Next time on Day to Day.
Lee Israel sold letters from literary giants like Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward.
One problem, Lee didn't just sell them, she wrote them.
I adored large personalities. I had a good ear, and I guess I could be funny. That's how I did it.
Soon, her tidy business turned to a bust.
It was the Noel Coward what done me in.
A tale of fame and fraud.
He couldn't make this up.
Next time on Day to Day.
Day to Day begins in just about 30 minutes. It starts at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Good morning, I'm Amy Jurevich. Thanks for joining us for Open Line this morning. You can hear today's big stories put in perspective on All Things Considered. Hosts Robert Siegel, Michelle Norris, Melissa Block, and WOSU's Christina Morgan present a mix of news, interviews, reviews, commentaries, and offbeat features. Listen to All Things Considered, weekdays starting at 4. Now on WOSU 89.7 FM, NPR News, and classical music. And you can listen to Open Line with Fred Anderle where you want and when you want with the Open Line podcast. Search Open Line at the iTunes Music Store to download each program to your iPod or MP3 device. In the weather forecast, sunny skies today and a nice day, a high around 75. Mostly clear tonight with a low of 52. Sunny on Thursday with a high around 80. Currently 66 degrees in downtown Columbus. Back to Open Line.
Welcome back to Open Line at WOSU 820 NPR News. I'm Fred Anderle. We're with our Columbus restaurant critics talking about some of the best restaurants in Columbus and Central Ohio. For City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, Steve Stover is with us, restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch, John Christensen, and our own restaurant review team here at WOSU 820, Rich Terapak and Marilyn Smith. We're at 614-292-8513, and Rachel is on the line. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
What's up?
I was wondering, I used to go to the Galaxy in Grandview.
Yes.
Probably about 10 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there's any restaurants that have the same kind of flavor to it.
Steve Stover.
That was Ricky Barnes who left and went out of town. He had the Galaxy Cafe, and then he had another Galaxy Cafe, and then he went away and came back and opened the Ricky's Galaxy in the Short North,
Short
where
North.
Betty's is now.
Right.
Then he sold surfing supplies in Grandview. But his original partner and chef was Jerry Burgos, who owns the Starliner Diner on Cemetery Road in Hilliard.
Oh, okay.
And that's where you're going to find similar cuisine,
yes.
Right?
Very much.
Yes.
Everybody likes the Starliner Diner, right?
Yes.
Starliner Diner and North Star Cafe, they're great values, great food.
Alrighty.
Thank you, Rachel.
Consistent, dependable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. 614-292-8513. You can email comments or questions to openline at wosu.org. Where do you go if you just want a wonderful cup of coffee, where do you go? If that's your prime goal for the morning or the afternoon, where do you head?
Stoff's.
Stoff's in Grandview.
Yes.
On Grandview Avenue, huh?
Yeah, not the only place. We have Brioso downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much serious. Yes, very serious about its coffee. Mm-hmm. But those places have in common is that they roast all their own beans on premises.
Yes.
And
they roast, not burn, the beans.
Yes.
But some burn,
right.
Do they not? Yes.
No, they're much lighter than, say, the Starbucks kind of black roasted coffee.
Mm-hmm. But Starbucks coffee tends to be bitter, right? But I understand they're introducing some new coffees at Starbucks that don't burn or roast in the same way.
Well, we can hope so.
Yeah.
And the thing about
it was a response to McDonald's coffee, I think.
I think it is too. Yes.
Yeah. What about McDonald's coffees, by the way? Some of them are pretty good, are they not?
Well, it's not roasted nearly enough, so they're at the other extreme.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
White Castle is a happy medium.
White Castle. Aren't we getting Dunkin' Donuts too? Which is
yes, we are.
Coffee.
Yes, we are. Several chains. They have the best coffee in the East, according to Well Consumer Reports, anyway. And now they're moving here. Okay, so Stoff's.
Right. There's. a place up in Powell Road, Espresso Yourself, that makes excellent coffee.
I love the name. Okay.
Look, I don't, what else I don't choose there? The names for coffee shops or hair salons. Okay. I only report them.
Okay. Those are the coffee recommendations.
Well, those are some of them. Fortunately, the coffee scene has been just improving for the last 15 years in Columbus. Huge improvement from the days when there were maybe five espresso machines in the whole city and none of them worked.
And we mentioned Mozart's earlier. That's
yes.
A cup of coffee.
They've improved their coffee at Mozart's? Yeah. Is that the idea?
Actually,
how do they do that?
If you come and buy a pastry at the one, and actually they'll give you the cup of coffee. So.
Well, they're using Stauff's roast, Stauff's espresso blend.
I see.
Which is just a huge improvement.
Okay. Let us go
back. We don't have a Peets yet, do we, in Central Ohio?
P-E-E-T-S. With our callers, Tom. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, folks. I'd like to concur with Mr. Stover about the Hamburger Inn in Delaware. I think a phenomenal place, especially for a little bit heartier breakfast. My wife and
One way to put it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. You will feel satisfied when you leave there. My wife and I live in Marengo, and a place that we love to make the drive for on the weekends is Betty, the Short North.
Yeah.
They feature a brunch. It's not all you can eat. It's definitely a one-off brunch that features, I think, five or six different omelets. Some of the a breakfast burrito with a very light kind of a cream sauce over it. French toast, pancakes, standard kind of fare. And if you want to imbibe with a adult beverage with your brunch, you can do that while you're there as well. And the question I had real quick for the staff there is, what is going on with Hanke, since Chef Hanke, I read, sold the restaurant?
He did indeed, although he's still very active with the restaurant. He's doing a lot of catering and using that kitchen.
Cooking classes.
I can't imagine his presence not being felt among the staff there. I have not eaten there since.
Me neither.
Since the change. But it is staffed by all of his former assistants.
And sous chef. I know that Aza has done a fabulous job when he's not there.
Right. So I want to ask you, Tom, Betty's, is that on High Street in the Short North? Is that right?
Yes, it's in the Short North on High Street.
It's not Russell.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It's just north of Russell, south of Rigsby's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does
the one caveat I would add to that is, unless you get there right when they open at 11, you might want to be prepared to wait, as they only have table seating for about, I'll say, 20 at the most, and they have bar seating for about another 10.
Mm-hmm. Does Elizabeth have breakfast? And I don't know the answer to this. At the Tip Top or at Surly Girl?
Not sure.
Yeah.
I know the Surly Girl doesn't.
Okay.
The Surly Girl does not yet. I don't know about the Tip Top.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you, folks.
Rich and Marilyn, you went to Billy D's Chinese Cuisine on East Broad in the Bexley Center. What about Billy
Lee's?
Billy Lee's? Billy D.
Lee's.
That's it. Got to be Billy D. I wondered about that.
It's one of your rock and roll favorites of the late 60s. Well, this is a neighborhood place, actually. It's just outside of Bexley on Broad Street, about a block east of the Panera. And in a strip center, and I've heard about it for years from our good buddies, the Jim and Susan Boudreaux, who eat there at least once a week. We went there for lunch and tasted not the entire menu, because there must be 200 items on it. But it was, it was kind of a classic Chinese restaurant, all the usual things, and they do a good job of, we had mugu gai pan, and we had Mongolian beef, and a number of and a twice cooked pork, and
with scallops
and egg drop and hot and sour. And
well, and your son Rich apparently goes there frequently. It's one of his favorite places to go, and was explaining about them preparing the meat, tenderizing the meat, and cutting it on the grain, so it's very tender, and that seemed to be consistent in all the beef dishes that
I've got to admit that last night, we rarely do this, we had carryout. And we got carryout from Billy Lee's, and we got one order of the Mongolian beef, light on the onions. a third of it is left. We split it, and there was enough for a family in this order.
Whoa.
It was, and they didn't, it was just, Roberta just gave her first name. It wasn't because we'd reviewed the place recently. It really is, they're enormous quantities.
Been you listening, forever? Steve?
Pardon me, yeah.
You listening?
I think that'd be a good snack for me.
Yeah. It was.
Well, it was generous at lunch, not quite that generous, yeah. But there were five of us on that particular day, and so we were able to sample a number of different things. And we did have leftovers, and those dishes went around a couple of times, as I recall.
Yeah, and Rich's wife, Cindy, is Thai, and Eurasian, actually, and she knows a lot about Thai cooking and Asian cooking, and it's one of her favorite places. So we went on her recommendation.
How long
has
it been around?
Years.
I never heard of it.
Well, it's always been a Chinese restaurant. I think Billy Lee just took it over maybe 10 years ago.
Where? Oh, you already told us.
It's next to Ross Cleaners.
Okay.
Well, and we had trouble parking, and it was crowded. And I think this was maybe on a Thursday afternoon. It wasn't even a Friday where you'd expect to see a lot of people out to lunch. It was crowded.
Every table was there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. Highly recommended, huh?
Yeah.
Billy Lee's Chinese Cuisine, East Broad in the Bexley Center.
John, I'm thinking of Sandra Dee, Fred.
I'm thinking of Sandra Dee. Yeah, well, you're dating me, but yeah, I was. John, new for Vietnamese cuisine, John Christensen.
Well, Phuong Hoang, which is on Morris Road at Carl Road, is a pretty good place, well worth checking out. Halong Bay is on Sankas. That's excellent. There's a place called, of all things, China Jade, which is in a strip center north of the Giant Eagle that's on 161, just west of I-71.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, in other words, near the old continent. So there are quite a number of places that are doing Vietnamese food again, but they're kind of doing it quietly, which is a shame.
Chai Thai is in a bad spot on North Hamilton as well. They're doing a good job, I think.
Pan-Asian.
You say quietly. Why do you think?
Well, I think that a lot of owners of restaurants that do Indo-Chinese food feel that they have to, that they're almost swamped by the demand for Chinese food. So they have to have a full Chinese menu in addition to the Viet or the Thai, or if we ever get one, Laotian menu. And I think that's just discouraged a lot of people over the years from even having names that indicate that they are Vietnamese.
I see. Oh,
yeah. Like China Jade. Mm-hmm.
How's lemongrass doing? I haven't been there for a while.
I haven't been there either for quite some time.
Yeah. North High.
But that's more Pan-Asian.
That's Pan-Asian as well.
Yeah. And Steve Stover, you have a list in front of you of names and places.
Yes, I do.
Taking notes of places with large servings.
That's right.
And early servings.
Well, I was just thinking on the way over here that after a lull, there's been a whole, even with the economy being so slow, there's been a whole host of new restaurants that I haven't been to all, and I was anxious to hear the other guys talk about them. But Deep Woods in the hotel across from the convention center, the Hampton Inn. Sage.
It's an independent restaurant, by the way. It's not part of the hotel.
Sage, an American bistro on High Street in the old Turkish cuisine location. Luce has a new owner up in farthest reaches of Powell. And there's Giorgio, which is sort of John Skaggs is a chef, but Giuseppe and the guy, the Middle Eastern, that owns the Middle Eastern restaurants nearby, have supported that.
So now, but Giorgio's on North High Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a spinoff of Giuseppe's, which is the Drexel theater building in Bexley.
The chef is John Skaggs, but on the menu is a Giuseppe's spaghetti recipe, for example.
Yeah.
And there's also the space is owned, I think, by the guy who owns the Middle Eastern Aladdin's.
Aladdin's, yeah.
So have you been to Giorgio's?
Yes.
And what do you think?
I thought it was very good, well priced.
Mm-hmm.
Wine markups were nice. I had a veal dish that I haven't had a very good veal scallopini for a long time, and I thought that was better than average.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was absolutely worth going to. It was very new when we got there.
And this is on High Street in roughly
It's near Denise's ice cream. All my directions. It's north
of Lower
Clintonville, I guess.
North of Orlandtangy Village.
Yes, right there. Yeah. And I was anxious to hear.
Deepwood was good. Marilyn and I and Rich went there for lunch. By the way, it is not open on Mondays. We tried to do that.
They are open for lunch, though.
They are open for lunch. Okay. It's a very handsome place. They've done a good job. This is the old Abbracci location.
And where is this? Now, where is
it? It's on North High Street, just shy, just south of the Greek Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the Hampton Hotel building, but it's an independent restaurant. We had the problem. The only thing I'm remembering is the soup, which was just okay. I think we had a good meal there. I also remember the fries, which I'm not a big fries fan, were delicious.
Yeah. It was very good. And as Rich mentioned, the room is just beautiful, and you could practically fall asleep in the booths. And I think, in fact, the woman who I believe owns it actually was there, and she said during construction she did sleep there on occasion, and you could see why.
She's from RJ Snappers, I think.
So how would you describe the cuisine? I mean, what kind of meal might you get?
It's American bistro, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what does that mean?
Oh, all the kinds of things that you'd find at Rigsby's and other places. Interesting. You've got traditional dishes. I think we have a hamburger in that mix. I believe we did. We had some. A tomato basil soup kind of thing, and the what's probably southwestern cuisine, California cuisine, I think is mm-hmm. what's been called before. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back for dinner. I think it was the difficulty.
Are you buying?
The difficulty is
never.
They're good lawyers, aren't they?
No, really.
The difficulty is parking, and they have valet service at night, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is the word, John Christensen? A lot of restaurants are called a bistro. What does a bistro mean in Columbus, Ohio?
It means anything you want it to mean here. I think it's. In some places, it's probably a city ordinance against, a local ordinance against opening a place that isn't called bistro or a trattoria.
Yeah.
If it has a brick wall and a fern.
It's a restaurant. Yeah, right.
I mean, classically, it would be a very informal French type of restaurant that doesn't have the white tablecloth aura that people traditionally associate with French cooking,
mm-hmm.
and which is still capable of turning out excellent food at lower prices than a classic French restaurant. The Italian equivalent roughly would be a trattoria. And then you also have to confuse the issue of the brasserie, which is maybe even more informal than a bistro and could be centered around the bar. But in all cases, they have to be judged according to what they are, not according to name. We just talked about a Thai restaurant that has the name China, the word China in mm-hmm. its name.
Sure.
You simply can't go by names or labels,
sure.
Whether you're choosing a wine or choosing a restaurant.
John Christensen, restaurant critic for the Columbus Dispatch.
By the way, the Deepwoods, we should give a plug to the owner who was trying to develop a single malt scotch bar that is the rival of Wings.
So. For lunch?
For lunch.
Well, they also have an unusually complete beer list as well as one of the best wine lists in town. Oh. And the food at night has been superb when we've been
– Good.
We've checked them out three times.
Okay.
And we expect to see them in the top 20 list in the Dispatch.
And when's that coming out?
That'll be coming out late next week.
All right.
Wow.
From the Dispatch, John Christensen, our own restaurant review team, Rich Terapak and Marilyn Smith, and for City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, Steve Stover. And let us go here to Pam. Hi, Pam. You're on the line.
Hi. I was just wondering if you guys have been to Banana Bean and what your thoughts on that place is.
In German Village. Very nice.
Yeah.
Rich?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it early on. I like it a lot. I particularly like the Cuban pork sandwich. It's a family out of Mansfield, is that correct? That came to town. They do Floridian cuisine, and they do it well, which is a combination of Key West and the Caribbean. They've got good pastries, which I believe they do themselves as well.
They have a fried green tomato sandwich that's amazing.
Wow.
There you go.
So Pam, where indeed is it located for our listeners?
Oh, I can't ever remember the street.
It's Whittier.
Whittier. I was thinking okay. of Whittier. It's a favorite destination, but I hesitate to eat.
It's about two blocks further east of the Giant Eagle of Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. Really tiny.
Excellent choice.
And the hours are kind of odd. Get there early because
they
close at 7.
I thought they would have changed that by now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they're hoping to get a beer and wine license, which might keep them.
Or they could do BYO.
Yeah.
Pam, thanks for your call. Hassan is joining us. Hi. Hassan, are you on the air with us?
Yes.
Go.
You guys have been talking all morning, which was a great discussion about good places, but there's a unique place I've been to so many times so far, and it's on Carl and Schruck. They call it Manhattan Pizzeria.
Ah, okay. Tell us more.
But they have the best pizza I ever had, New York-style pizza. They make their own dough, their own sauce and everything. They have some the best gyros, and also they have some Philly steaks. So they're really the place is small, and they open from 4 to 10. It's not too many, you know. They just basically open for dinner. But you guys might check it out. You might be amazed how these small places, and nobody knew about them, and they offer good prices. Their prices, it's amazing.
Manhattan, what was the?
Manhattan Pizzeria.
Pizzeria, thank
okay.
you.
At Carlin Truck. What does it mean, New York-style pizza, Hassan? What do you think of when you think of New York-style pizza?
It's a hand-tossed pizza, but it's not thin, it's not thick, mm-hmm. you know. But the when you taste the pizza, has you know, like a talking about virgin olive oil. You can taste all those stuff. That's the sauce. It's awesome sauce. I don't know what they put in the sauce, but their sauce is just I don't know. When I had the pizza, there's no way I can order pizza from somewhere else.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Hassan.
Hey, I'm hooked. Okay. I don't know what it is, but something.
Something is
small,
in that pizza.
It's small family, yeah. It's small family place owned, but they do. And their prices.
Hassan, do you own this restaurant? You don't own this restaurant by any chance, do you?
No.
You just love the pizza there. Okay, appreciate your call. Thanks so much for calling. We got an email from Elliot. He says there's a small cafe just north of Jack and Benny's, which is bland compared to Jack and Benny's near High and Hudson called Cafe Bella. New owners took over the cafe, and they serve some of the best breakfasts. The kitchen's very small. You have to eat whatever the owner decides to serve that day. But every weekend, they have homemade pancakes that can be topped with fruit, breakfast meat, eggs of any style, baked, cubed, seasoned potatoes, as well as coffee. Anybody know about Cafe Bella?
I've been there once for lunch, and it had it's probably been 2 years ago. It had kind of a Greek theme at the time. It was okay. Give it a try again. It sounds like they've changed owners.
Yeah.
Apparently chefs.
All right. Steve is on the air. Hello, Steve.
Hi. My wife and I used to enjoy very much the restaurant Delicatessa, and it closed a few years back, and we've always been interested in something that would be a good replacement. I saw an announcement of I'm not sure the name, Hava Russian, up on 161 Columbus Square Shopping Center, and I wondered if anybody had checked it out yet.
Well, I got a report on it from one of my food spies, and it's more of a Russian nightclub. And I don't think it would compare to Delicatessa, but...
A Russian nightclub? Tell us about that.
Well, I haven't been there, but they have entertainment, and they wanted to go for a more upscale. That would be a good place for us to go sometime.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even know if they're open for lunch, but it was... The reports I've gotten are good. The person has been to Russia several times and said that's good. I don't know how it would compare to Delicatessa.
Are there any places that people might suggest as a replacement to Delicatessa?
John Christensen, any thoughts?
No, there have been some attempts since Delicatessa closed to establish Russian or East European-type restaurants, but they've been short-lived.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Steve, thank you. And Jerry is on the air. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Power Breakfast on Whittier Street. Pam reminded me of it. German Village Coffee House. Very small place.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is out 4 miles southwest on 42 of Plain City. Not the Dutchman, but the Dutch Kitchen.
Yes.
Get a Power Breakfast there. And you gentlemen might like to try Tula's European Cafe, which just opened west of Hoggy's on the north side of Hard Road and west of Sawmill. I haven't been there yet. Plan to try it because I believe this lady is from Helsinki, Finland, and might be something different.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, I heard it on the radio here in Columbus several weeks ago. Our daughter told us it was in the Charlotte Observer. She lives down in Charlotte. People, because of the high costs of food and energy, are cutting down on the tips to the waiters and waitresses. And please, folks, don't do that.
Well, I wonder what you know about that. People cutting down on tips. I guess that makes sense, given the economy. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I
hadn't heard about it yet. It would be unfortunate.
Yeah, it would be. Jerry, thanks for your call. Email from Reagan. I tuned in late, so perhaps you've already mentioned this, but one of the best-kept secrets in great brunch spots in Columbus is the Zen Cha Tea Salon in the Short North. What do you know about that?
Never been there for brunch.
Exotic choices like chai-spiced waffles topped with caramelized bananas and seafood-filled Japanese savory pancakes. Amazing tea selection offers a fun vacation from coffee.
They do have a lot of exotic waffle and pancake type offerings, or at least they used to. I haven't been there in quite a while. And needless to say, the tea selection is unmatched in Columbus.
Okay.
So definitely a place to check out, but not a power breakfast type of place.
Guess not, Steve.
He said power breakfast. He was talking about the Dutch kitchen. You wouldn't have much power left after breakfast at the Dutch kitchen.
But you'd have a lot of fuel.
You might need a nap.
Jerry, if you real quick, you're on the air. Hi.
Real quick, the Captain's Table 161 and Mays is new, and their crab cakes are not bad. Huge, huge portions and pretty cheap. And the only place my family can all eat, because we all have different tastes, is the Wildflower.
Mm-hmm.
They have everything from raspberry chutney to southern fried chicken. I can't believe it. And they do have a huge breakfast. They're on Indianola near North Broadway.
Near Oakland Park, yeah. Hey, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for the recommendations. Anna, got a quick call from you. Hi. Anna, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Hi. I would just love to mention the Global Village Coffee Shop on Whittier Street in German Village.
Yeah.
I think they do a great job. I've been there and had their wonderful iced chai, and they have a French pressed coffee, and I know you can really drink out of real glass and real ceramic, and all their stuff is fair trade.
Yeah, fair traded coffee place and fair traded items for sale. They got another place on High Street in the Short North, which doesn't have the coffee, but nonetheless, a very nice place.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for recommending that. Quickly, Sharon, about 30 seconds. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to add something about Cafe Bella.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there several times. They have terrific to die for meatballs that he makes himself. And so not only breakfast, but dinner as well. And don't be misled when you walk in the front door. It is very tiny and sort of deli-like, but keep going. And there's a patio out back that's very comfortable. They do a great salad because a lot of those greens and herbs, they've grown themselves back there on the patio. And they also they have a great eggplant parmesan. And on Wednesday nights, they have local musicians come and entertain on the patio. So.
Sounds very nice, Cafe Bella. Hey, thank you all for coming. We're out of time. John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, appreciate you being here today. Steve Stover for City Scene Magazine and the Delaware Gazette, and our own restaurant review team, Rich Tarapak and Marilyn Smith. Thanks so much for being
here.
Thank you, Fred.
Listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 is NPR News.